Today is the 11th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and I am very, very grateful to be here with you today as we, well, gather again. Another day, another step forward. We finished the book of Ezra yesterday. That's leading us into some brand new territory in the Old Testament. The book of Nehemiah, and if you have the Daily Audio Bible app, you will be able to watch a bit of a visual overview of the book of Nehemiah, so be sure to do that flyover and orient yourselves. Nehemiah is a biblical writing that is part of a grouping of books known as the books of history, and we'll see that Nehemiah picks up pretty well where Ezra leaves off. In fact, in Christian tradition, Ezra is at least one of the authors of the book of Nehemiah, because Ezra and Nehemiah were at one time a single manuscript. So what we know about Nehemiah is that he was a Jewish exile who was in Persia, so had been taken away into exile by the Babylonians. Then the Persian Empire defeated the Babylonian Empire. So Nehemiah's a Jewish exile in Persia who had been following the story of God's favor in allowing the few remnant Jewish people who remained to go back to their homeland and rebuild the temple of God. All the things that we were reading about in Ezra. And he was able to follow this story very closely because he was a direct servant to the king of Persia. And what pulled Nehemiah's heart into months of intercession was this troubling and even heartbreaking image of God's temple, the very symbol of the Jewish people, and the very place where God had met with mankind, sitting there, being rebuilt, but sitting there completely undefended. So Nehemiah gets a fire in his belly, a passion to rebuild fortifications to protect the temple, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And that just begins to simmer in him until it comes to a boiling point, until he just couldn't withhold that desire from the king anymore. And Nehemiah will face all kinds of opposition. We'll also watch him persevere through all kinds of opposition. He had this single purpose, and he was resolute in that single purpose, and he did not lose sight of that purpose and of the reality that there was no way to complete the objective without complete and total dependence on God. And man, those are all things required for a life of faith. And so we'll see that the wall gets rebuilt, and it gets rebuilt fast, in record time. And Nehemiah had promised that he would come back to Persia to report everything to the king. And so he does go back, and he's going back to resume his role in the king's service. But then later, he's able to go back again to Jerusalem. This is a long way. I mean, this is 1,000 miles, not by airplane, not by, you know, gas-powered automobile or electric-powered automobile. This is like by caravan, on foot, in wagons, 1,000 miles. That is very, 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 very far at this time. So he goes back, and he is troubled deeply by what he sees when he gets back. The wall is strong. The people are weak. So Nehemiah steps into that breach and restores Israel back before the Lord to its glory. And repentance and revival spread throughout the exiles as the law, the Mosaic law, is read. So Nehemiah is a part of a grouping of books known as the historical books. But it's not just a great story, a great piece of history. It is a profound metaphor for how to pursue a passion and live into a calling, as we will see if we're paying attention, and as we will talk about as we read through it. And so with that, let's begin the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, verse 14. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, "Oh Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me." In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence, so the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, but I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, "If it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will you be gone? When will you return?" After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I also said to the king, "If it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for a house for myself." And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. So I arrived in Jerusalem. 3 days later, I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. We took no pack animals with us except the donkey I was riding. After dark, I went out through the valley gate, past the jackal's well, and over to the dung gate to inspect the broken walls and burned gates. Then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool. But my donkey couldn't get through the rubble. So, though it was still dark, I went up the Kidron Valley instead, inspecting the wall before I turned back and entered again at the valley gate. The city officials did not know I had been out there or what I was doing, for I had not yet said anything to anyone about my plans. I had not yet spoken to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or anyone else in the administration. But now I said to them, "You know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." So they began the good work. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab heard of our plan, they scoffed contemptuously. "What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" they asked. I replied, "The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. But you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem." Then Eliashib the high priest and the other priests started to rebuild at the Sheep Gate. They dedicated it and set up its doors, building the wall as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and the Tower of Hananel. People from the town of Jericho worked next to them, and beyond them was Zakur, son of Imri. The Fish Gate was built by the sons of Hasaniah. They laid the beams, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. Meremoth, son of Uriah, and grandson of Hakoz, repaired the next section of wall. Beside him were Meshulam, son of Berechiah, and grandson of Meshezabel, and then Zadok, son of Baana. Next were the people from Tekoa, though their leaders refused to work with the construction supervisors. The old city gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Besodiah. They laid the beams, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. Next to them were Melatiah from Gibeon, Jadon from Meronoth, people from Gibeon, and people from Mizpah, the headquarters of the governor of the province west of the Euphrates River. Next was Uzziel, son of Harahiah, a goldsmith by trade who also worked on the wall. Beyond him was Hananiah, a manufacturer of perfumes. They left out a section of Jerusalem as they built the broad wall. Rephaiah, son of Hur, the leader of half the district of Jerusalem, was next to them on the wall. Next, Jediah, son of Harumaph, repaired the wall across from his own house, and next to him was Hattush, son of Hashbaniah. Then came Melchijah, son of Harim, and Ashub, son of Peat Moab, who repaired another section of the wall and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Haloesh, and his daughters repaired the next section. He was the leader of the other half of the district of Jerusalem. The valley gate was repaired by the people from Zenoah, led by Hanun. They set up its doors and installed its bolts and bars. They also repaired the 1,500 feet of wall to the dung gate. The dung gate was repaired by Melchijah, son of Rechab, the leader of the Bet Hakarim district. He rebuilt it, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. For 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 24. Now, regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations. But because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations, unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time, so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again, so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. But I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God, of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried, just as I am. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. But for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband. But if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him. And the husband must not leave his wife. Now I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer, and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. For the believing wife brings holiness to her marriage, and the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy, but now they are holy. But if the husband or wife who isn't a believer insists on leaving, let them go. In such cases, the believing husband or wife is no longer bound to the other, for God has called you to live in peace. Don't you wives realize that your husbands might be saved because of you? And don't you husbands realize that your wives might be saved because of you? Each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you, and remain as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for all the churches. For instance, a man who was circumcised before he became a believer should not try to reverse it, and the man who was uncircumcised when he became a believer should not be circumcised now, for it makes no difference whether or not a man has been circumcised. The important thing is to keep God's commandments. Yes, each of you should remain as you were when God called you. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you. But if you get a chance to be free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you are now free in the Lord. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave of Christ. God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world. Each of you, dear brothers and sisters, should remain as you were when God first called you. Psalm 31, 19 through 24. How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. You hide them in the shelter of your presence, safe from those who conspire against them. You shelter them in your presence, far from accusing tongues. Praise the Lord, for he has shown me the wonders of his unfailing love. He kept me safe when my city was under attack. In panic, I cried out, I am cut off from the Lord. But you heard my cry for mercy and answered my call for help. Love the Lord, all you godly ones, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to him, but he harshly punishes the arrogant. So be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. Proverbs 21:4. Haughty eyes, a proud heart, and evil actions are all sin. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for bringing us this far into the year and this far into the Bible. And as we engage with and begin the book of Nehemiah, help us to see these processes, these postures, because they are so important to our own faith journey. We saw Nehemiah begin to understand what's happening and get a passion for the wall of Jerusalem to be rebuilt. We saw him begin by conceiving of it and then interceding before you, and then beginning a systematic plan before he did anything, crossing every T and dotting every I, and then asking, and then finding favor in traveling the 1,000+ miles to the city. And then he gets there, and he doesn't come with a big banner and big importance and pomp announcing what's about to happen. He keeps everything very, very quiet. He's looking the whole situation over before he ever says anything to anybody. He's examining, along with your leading, what the work is going to look like before he gets any other voices into the mix. We see so many examples, and as we continue the journey through Nehemiah, we ask you to lead us into what we need to see and hear as it relates to our own lives. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base. They are where you find out what's going on around here, so do find out. Check out the community section. That is a very important aspect of who we are around the global campfire. The prayer wall is there in the community section. It's always on, never off, always, always, always. No matter what time of day or night it is, you can always reach out, share your story, and then let your brothers and sisters come around you. It's also a place that no matter what's going on, you can go and encourage those. We all have our wilderness journeys. We all find ourselves kind of feeling like we're at the bottom looking up. And so it's good to know that there's a place to reach out. But we also always find ourselves getting out of the wilderness and finding the other side of that. And to not forget where we've come from, it's very important to go back and encourage those who are going through, just like we did. The prayer wall is so good for that. Also, check out the check out the record a video button. We have been collecting these little 1-minute vignettes of the community here as we go through the Bible together, so that we can see each other, so that we can kind of make those connections with those voices that we hear all of the time. So when you hit the record a video button, you can leave your voice. You can leave a little video. I watch every single one of those. It makes the work here behind the microphone come to life for me. But I'm not alone. It helps us all know that we are actually in this together. So click that button. Do that today. Leave your voice. And then you'll see a watch button. That's where you can watch those. They're called testimonials. Watch those. But in the watch section, so much more content. So many things. There are devotional type, parable type films in there that are, well, you have to sit down and watch. And just see what happens when you consider some of what's being said there. Check those out. Check out the music button. That is where you can find the music from the Daily Audio Bible and stream it on the platform, however it is that you listen to music. So click the music button. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around that rhythm, the rhythm of showing up consistently, walking together in a straight line through the year and through the Bible, if that is life-giving to you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier. Just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to pray for Christy in Kentucky, with Mrs. Crenshaw. We want to pray for her. We want to pray for Ned. I want to pray for Mary, who sustained, who's gone through pain and had, she had a stroke. I wanted to pray for her. I wanted to pray for the person who was the 67-year-old who's been working in the hot sun and going through the challenges. I want to pray for the one that they let go in prison because of some challenges with the prison, and I want ask God to open up doors for him and let God have his way, that God will open doors for him. I want to pray for those who are going through cancer, those who are going through challenges, those who went to travel and in other countries on their missions. I want to pray for them that their mission would be what God would have it to be, that he'll open doors and let his will be done. I just want to pray for all the dabbers, and I want to thank those who have been calling in who have never called in before, and also those who are going through challenges and feel as though that they're not making it. Just remember, God is faithful. God is able to do exceedingly. Continue to look up to him, saints. Continue to look to him. And we thank God for the podcast. Somebody who's going through Daughter of the Silversmith, we want to pray for the baby doctor. We want to pray for Lisa the Encourager, my precious.
Hi, good morning, good evening. This is your sister, Betty. I just wanted to pray for Bill, who called in and is asking for prayers for a new chapter in his life. I just want to say praise the Lord. Glory be to God, for there's no calling in his life. Bill, I just want to pray for you, brothers and sisters, if you would join me, please. Lord, we ask that you grant him all that he needs in this journey, he and his wife. Lord, I pray that you grant him wisdom, courage, patience, and all the resources that he needs, Lord, to go forth. I pray that, Lord, you will surround him with the right people, brothers and sisters, that will be a support system to him alongside us here in the DAB community as we remember him in prayer. Father, I pray that you will give him the joy and in his ministry and help him to do what it is that you've called him to do. And I pray that, Lord, he's not going to get burned up again like he did before, that you will strengthen him and give him pretty much everything he needs, Lord. I pray that you will go ahead of him and his wife and bless them well in this journey. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Here I am, staying close in Ohio. I want to pray for my kindred spirit, staying desperately connected to Jesus. Father God, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you, Father, to see my kindred spirit who wants to stay close to you. Lord God, keep her under your wing, just like you say in the psalm, that you will keep her underneath your wing like a hen keeps her chicks. I believe that's in Isaiah. But God, I ask that you see her in this storm that she's in right now, the storm of her finances. Lord, I ask that you would calm that storm, that you would provide whatever it is that she needs to make her finances come out right. God, I ask that you would call her out of that boat, that you would allow her to walk on water. And keep her eyes fixed on you, Lord God. Please help her, Lord, to realize that no matter what happens, it has to come through your hands first because she belongs to you. And that only those things that happen to her are for her good and for your glory. Lord, just give her peace in her heart regarding this. Let her lay down all of that to you, Lord God. And trust that you will do what is best for her. And I praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Diana from Virginia, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it has been a while since I've called in, and there has been no really excuses for that. Just know that I've been praying in the background, though. But my reason for calling today is for my daughter and her family. They had a fire in their home last week and lost everything. The home burned to the ground, and they have been displaced and devastated with the loss. They lost two pets in the fire as well, but they did get out with their lives, which I'm very thankful for. But being in Virginia, it's been hard to not be there for them. And so I'm just asking for the community to just lift them up in prayer. We will be going up there to see them for a few days, but just to see what we can do for them. Anyway, just asking the community for your prayers, just to the Lord, just to wrap his loving arms around them and just care for them and meet all the needs that they have right now, and that they can find a new home and just try to get settled in to a new life. And just thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers. Love you all. And I'll be trying to call in more.
Hi, DAB family. This is Jessica Spring Powers calling from Marshall, Michigan. Longtime listener of 17 years. I appreciate everybody that calls in continuously, lifting everyone up. I'm calling in today to request prayer for some children that aren't in the greatest of homes. Could you please pray for Lyric, Justin, Rose, and MJ and Yvonne? They all need our prayers. Thank you.
Hi, TAB family. I'm a longtime listener, although I've only called in once before by the name of Saved by Grace. Later, I found out that someone in California went by that name as well, so now I'm going by Walking by Faith. And I'm calling for prayer for a young man and his wife who was hoping to emigrate to Canada, but was arrested at the airport in April on an inflated charge that was 18 years old and never prosecuted. I've known this young man for 25 years since he was a student studying in Canada, and I have no doubt of his innocence. Unfortunately, his wife wasn't allowed entry into Canada because of this, so she had to return home while he's been detained here, and she's suffering emotionally because of it. Neither one of them are believers, but I've shared with this young man about Jesus many times, and I've encouraged him to reach out to God now. I told him that sometimes God allows these kinds of things in our lives to get us to the end of ourselves so that we will realize that we need God and that he loves us and wants to help us. Please pray with me for this man and his wife to allow God to work in their lives, not only to resolve the situation, but to find true salvation. Thank you so much for your prayers. I know they are powerful. I listen to the DAB every day and pray along with prayer requests. I know this is a wonderful community, and I'm so grateful for it.